Thank you. Well, welcome everyone. I'm Sarah Hardesty, as Susan said, and thank you so much, Susan, for allowing me to be here and to create this work. Just to feed off what she was saying about the residency, to talk a little bit about my process, I'd like to kind of invite some of that in right now. I made most of this work with this show in mind, which I think is it's kind of important, at least for me, because I make work when I don't have a show in mind and I don't know it's necessarily going somewhere. And this work I knew was coming here and knew it was going to be together. This isn't all of the work that I made, but all of the work that I was making at that residency I made as this community. And it was a really nice experience for me to kind of keep the work connected. So that is something that I think is important to the body of work. The place where I made it is in Hurleyville, New York. So this is upstate New York at the edge of the Catskills, about 2 hours northwest of New York City. And being at the residency, it's important not only because it created the space for me to make the work, but the location of it is a place that I had been coming to since I was 5. And it was very special to be there in a different context as an artist, not just with family or not just with the meditation center that my parents live in. It was this whole new context, and so it was a meaningful place and time to be making the work. One of the things that happened when I first started the residency is this house that my dad and stepmom used to live in called the Tea Garden. Beautiful little house, the only structure on this country road. Wonderful woods, little tea huts around the house. It was being bulldozed, and my stepmom told me, she said, oh, did you see the tea gardens being bulldozed? And so I drove down, I took some photos, and I thought, this is kind of awful, and I also thought, oh, this is going to be source material for my work, because I knew I was starting this residency, and there were all these trees being uprooted, and I've worked with trees before. So it was a really powerful experience, and I took a bunch of photos, thinking I was going to use them in my drawings and in my work somehow, but it ended up that just the action of them uprooting this place and seeing the power, the force that came in quickly. There were about 10 large tree roots just by the side of the road. You know, they had cut the trees, they had dug up the roots, and they had put them by the side to be collected. And there was a lot of power in that. So I'm telling you that because the show, this work, came after I saw that. And the title, Moving Mountains, actually came before a lot of the work was completed, and I knew that I wanted it to be about that, not moving mountains and not just moving land, but what happens with time and place and connection to place. So that's a big part of the title, and I'm talking about the title because a lot of the work, they do have individual titles. There's a list out there with all the details, but it is all part of that idea of moving earth, and the press release talks about time binding. And I was thinking also about the connection, not just to moving earth, but to your own life and how experiences are translated over generations, how we have some of the traits that, right, that our parents have. Maybe even we have issues that our grandparents have that we don't even know they're from our grandparents. Or like, why do I have this? So there's this thing that happens, kind of intergenerational tendencies, but then also how do we connect to our own life? What does place mean in our own lives, and what happens when that place is no longer there, or what happens when that person is no longer there, or how do we navigate through that impossibility in a way? There's this known factor in our lives. Some people have the same house for a long time, and what happens when that house is no longer there, or the person isn't there? And so that moving mountains also ties into this idea of the impossible, the power. It also, I've been thinking about the power of intention and what you can do with your mind. And that phrase, moving mountains, for me represents this impossibility, even though it's not. I mean, it's actually technically not impossible. Of course, we know that. But it sounds kind of impossible when I hear that, moving mountains. It's impossible because our connection to time is very different, the kind of time frame that we're alive. But I am also thinking about the impossibility and how to kind of create something with our minds and our own vision. So that's just some of the things I'm thinking about with this work. Technically, you know, the paintings up here half relate to all that because there's this underpainting in all of them, and then I'm adding this layer over it. I'm kind of covering what was behind and then carving away at the paint and kind of exposing some of that, letting that past be part of the presence. So that's something that's really important to me with these paintings. It was happening a little bit in the drawings. I did a lot of drawings, actually, that I didn't show here. I edited out a lot. But there's the work on paper here, and then these two pieces here. I did a series of figures that I wanted to kind of have them be defined, but also abstract. And so it's really clear to me that they're figures, and there's a lot of detail in them. They're all just hand-drawn lines, pen on paper. I outlined the figure, so I looked at a photograph. It's either myself or my sister. I kind of had us both pose in these positions that were pushing or pulling or holding. And so I drew it out in pencil from looking at the photograph, very lightly, just the outline. And then I covered it in with the pen and erased the pencil mark, so it looks like it's just the pen there. And they're different than these pieces. You know, they're not quite as kind of processed and abstract, but I really wanted them to be part of the entirety of the show. I liked how there were these figures that were holding or pushing something that wasn't there, and also tying into that idea of what it's kind of in your mind and things are what you make it and what you think of. Anyway, yeah, that's kind of what those are about. The installation, just to kind of talk about this briefly, and then I'll open it up if you have any questions, and depending on how we're doing with time. But the installation, so this piece here is an old installation from 2015 that I made for the Wasaic Project, also in upstate New York. Another great residency and wonderful people that direct that space. I had made this piece in response to something I had seen in Gardner, New York, where we were living at the time, of a tree that had fallen and was being held up by another tree. And I really liked that action. It seemed very beautiful and surrendering, and just there was something very poetic about it. And so there was a tree in our woods behind our house that had done something where it had fallen. I think it had been broken, and it was just laying there. It was a trunk or a branch of a tree. So the trunk of the tree was still intact, but the branch had fallen down. And so I decided to cut that down and kind of give it a new life in response to something that I had been seeing on this drive I had done every day. So that's what that bit quickly about what that piece was about. I had made it for that space, painted it like that. And they're very long branches. There were three of them. And so in making the piece for this space and in thinking about time and place, what was happening in life then, this piece of wood I got given from the Hurleyville Makers Lab, the residency I did this summer. It's a, you know, processed piece of wood versus this is also processed, but in a different way. And I liked two different, very different objects that were almost made out of the same material. I mean, they're both wood. This has vinyl on it. This is covered in acrylic paint. And I wanted this wood to be reflective and kind of interact with the past. I mean, I was kind of discussing this piece and saying, like, well, what's present and what's past for me? It's not really literal like that, but I wanted it to create a space of present and past and future and looking back at the past. And so that's part of why it's tilted this way and it reflects the wood. And each of these pieces are held by each other, essentially. There is a nail up there, and it's just wound around the nail once and then tied on to the other. So this is also not attached to the wall, and there's tension there, and that's what's holding it in place. So it's the position, it's the connection to the past that's kind of keeping it there. And I also, just to quickly talk about the string, you know, I wanted to respond to a lot of the linear quality of a lot of these pieces. So I think that it connects to the paintings and the drawings in that way. And I also didn't want the string to be too prevalent. I mean, I wanted it to be white and not shiny. You know, there's lots of different, if you're getting into string, there's just lots of different kinds of string and yarn. And I have a lot of string that's rayon or nylon, so it's a little shinier. The string is just cotton, and it's very soft and very immediate feeling. And I wanted it to feel like you could make this yourself. You could find some pieces and kind of pull them together. So that sense of immediacy and kind of pulling something, you know, piling up wood, was a really important part of this piece as well. Not refined, you know, not made out of metal or fishing wire. There's something about this string and its presence that's important. And then the shadow, so it's illuminated. You know, there are five strings, but then there's more there and more presence because of the shadow. And there's also 13 pieces of wood here, and that's kind of been a number that's been with me for about a year and a half, and it has to do with the number of days since somebody passes in a spiritual tradition that I'm somewhat part of. So it connects to that idea of letting go and moving on too. So that's some of my thoughts. I'd be happy to talk to you guys as much as you'd like. I didn't say why it's orange. No, so this neon, when I originally painted it, which was 2.5 years ago, I wanted it to kind of, I was thinking of the orange cones, traffic cones, that kind of alert people to something. I've used neon and fluorescent paint in my work before, so it's not only that, it's kind of something that I'm just have been drawn to for its power and also simplicity. I don't use a lot of color usually in my work, and I like how bold it is with being minimal at the same time. So I like it for aesthetic reasons as well, but that's what I was thinking about when I made the piece. It was also made for a specific space, which the Wissahick Project is an old 1950s grain mill, and it has 6 floors, and it's very raw wood, and it's beautiful space to work in for an installation artist. And so I also knew that the space it was going to be in was kind of a dark, I mean, I knew the exact room too, and it was a very dark room. So it being that bright would kind of call attention to it being in that space. So those are some of the things I was thinking about. Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Yep.